Hello, Sister Saints. Sister Deb from don'tperish.com. Hey, praise the Lord for this day, and hopefully you're redeeming every minute of it for Him. Today I thought we'd talk about being shame-faced women, and us sisters have been talking about it, so it's a good time to do this. I've been thinking about it for a while, and anyway, I know in the past I've made some audios or posts or something on shamefacedness, but it's really good to keep going over these type things, because as we grow and learn and mature, we can share more and maybe different view and perspective on it. So, to be honest with you, I don't really want to separate shamefacedness from some of the other characteristics that women are to have, because I think it might describe it more fully for us if we use them all together instead of just kind of separating that one out. So what I'm going to end up doing here is portraying a contrast picture of what shamefaced is not and what it is. So let's start with 1 Timothy 2:9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. And now we're going to look at the Greek definition of shamefacedness. Strong's definition says, through the idea of downcast eyes, bashfulness toward men, modesty or awe towards God, reverence, shamefacedness. And Thayer's says, a sense of shame or honor, modesty, bashfulness, reverence, regard for others, respect. And so we see that women are to be shamefaced toward men, bashful, the idea of downcast eyes, and here's the reason why. We can see it in the definition. For reverence, regard for others, and respect. And that's going to move me right on to this next part to kind of explain that. We're going to look at the headship order that we see in 1 Corinthians 11, and that shows us why we're to have respect and reverence toward men. 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So we see that man is the head of woman, and we also know that in Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3, that women are to submit themselves to their husbands, and also 1 Timothy 2:12 says that a woman cannot usurp the authority of a man. So what I want to do is, now that we understand that concept and that whole, the deeper meanings of it all, I want to read 1 Timothy 2:9 again. And let's see, I'm going to put in the definition. I'm trying to get back to 1 Timothy 2:9. I want to put in the definition that's going to help us see it better. Hold on, I'm going to pause this till they're done. Hold on. Okay, sorry about that. There's some young men out there and they're fooling around with a bike, motorcycle. Okay, that's being out in the world here. So what was I doing here? I was going First Timothy 2:9, and I was going to put the definition in there instead of using the word shamefacedness. So let's try this again. Hold on, he's racing around the van now. Okay, let's go. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. And sisters, that actually means orderly robes and dresses, not just modest apparel. With bashfulness, downcast eyes toward men, in reverence and respecting the headship order that God created for men and women, and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. So basically, it's teaching us to adorn ourselves from the inside with all these different characteristics that we have. And I just kind of summarize them all to just give us, I put in the characteristics of a godly woman underneath and within this verse to show us the whole contrast of what it is that a woman is supposed to be. So hopefully that kind of helped the way I did that. And I also wanted to say that the last part of that scripture is really important, because it shows us that a godly woman's not like decking herself out and adorning herself with the ways of the world, with trinkets of jewelry and makeup or flashy clothes and things. So shamefacedness is an inner quality that we cultivate right along with, and this to me, I think they all go right together and blend and merge with each other, a meek and quiet spirit that we see in 1 Peter 3. And Titus 2 says that we're supposed to be chaste. And what chaste really means pretty much is pure from carnality or clean. And Titus 2 also says we're supposed to be good and sober. So if we look at the whole characteristics of a godly woman, it kind of paints this picture where all these characteristics kind of blend in with each other. And so it kind of helps us see what a shame-faced, godly, holy woman should be like, with bashful, downcast eyes, meek and quiet, chaste, good, sober, as well as many other things. And I'm going to get to that downcast eye thing, because I know we get people who say, oh, you're supposed to just look at the ground. But anyway, so all those characteristics aren't something we just do. They're a characteristic that we become from the inside by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that could take some time that we have to work with. Now I want to go, like I was talking about, I want to go back to the definition of downcast eyes and bashfulness toward men. And that doesn't mean that women are to stare at the ground around men or be so bashful that they don't say anything. It's just explaining the inner demeanor of a woman in contrast to where I'm going to go later on as I'm teaching through this to show you what isn't and what is. And we clearly see in the Bible, women were talking to men. God used women all over in the Bible. Anna is one of them, and I think this is a pretty good example. Anna in Luke 2, 36 through 38. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now notice that she spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. It doesn't say she just spoke to women. It says all them. We also see people like God used Deborah and Esther and Ruth and Miriam and Abigail. And there's a lot more examples in there. But I wanted to go here. Also, Acts 2:17, we see that young men and women will prophesy. And I wanted to read Acts 21:9. Now, these are all just showing how examples of women who would have been shamefaced, but yet they didn't walk around with their eyes on the ground. You see what I'm saying? Just because it says shamefaced, bashful, with eyes on the ground doesn't mean that's exactly what we do. It's just kind of describing what the inner quality should be, and we'll get to a better understanding on that. So Acts 21:9, and the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophecy. Right? So there's four women out there doing prophecy. And then there's more. We also see Priscilla and Aquila helping Apollos. And let me think. I can't remember where it's at. I should have looked it up. Paul commended the women who labored in the gospel with him. Right here, Philippians 4:3. I did put that one in here. He says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So we see that the women were laboring alongside with the men in the gospel. They didn't just stand there looking at the ground. So when we see that definition, it doesn't mean that's a command on how we are supposed to be physically doing it. It's a matter of our heart, and we'll get to more of what that means. So what does that mean, and what does it look like to be shamefaced like that? We're to have the characteristics of a godly woman that has reverence for the headship order of creating God. God who created man first, and then he created woman, and we know he created woman for man. So a lot of this is based on the headship order, the authority, the reverence, the respect on what God has created. Because men are the authorities, men are to be the leaders, we women are to respect that headship order and put ourselves in it. So now we can move on. Now that I laid all that, I hope I'm doing it in a good order. What does it mean for us godly women, and what's it look like in our everyday life? So like I said, it doesn't mean we never talk to men. It doesn't mean we never look at men. It doesn't mean we don't smile at men. It doesn't mean we never say hello. It doesn't mean we never give them the gospel. So look at this whole picture I've painted already. Look at the women that God has used in the Bible. Look at what the definitions mean. Look at the godly characteristics of a woman. And we put them all together, and it kind of explains and shows how we're supposed to be. So we are to cultivate the characteristic that respects men. In our daily lives, we always allow them to be in the authority line that God created as males, and it allows them to be the leaders, and we're never to be putting ourselves in authority over them. And all the while we do this, we're keeping ourselves in the spirit of a meek and quiet, shame-faced, good, sober, godly, holy woman. And now, maybe this will help too, to kind of add to the whole thing. I wanted to show like the difference between a woman who's not shame-faced and one who is. And I'm just going to use myself as an example. Before Christ, I was a worldly carnal woman. I looked like, acted like, and dressed like a harlot. I was wild and crazy, and see, I'm just painting this picture for you with the perfect hair and the nails and the makeup and the jewelry and working out to have the perfect body to show it off and doing whatever I could to draw men's attention. I was loud, aggressive. I would argue with men, or I'd be cracking vulgar jokes with them to get them to laugh. And there were times I'd get in their face and tell them what I thought about them. Kind of like a toe-to-toe, an equal with a man, not giving any respect, any authority or anything. But praise God, he let me repent of that. And now I'm a new creation in Christ. Praise God. So I can use this example too. I don't like talking about that other one, but if I got to use that just to show the wicked picture of an unshame-faced woman, now I'm going to show you one, what a shame-faced woman would be. And she's one who has covered up her hair and her body with plain biblical clothing that doesn't reveal herself or her body. She's not trying to attract men. She's respectful toward men, and she defers to the authority of them. And she doesn't want to take over that power. She's got a meek and quiet, pure and chaste spirit, allowing the men to be the leaders and to talk and not always having to be heard and speaking over them. And so hopefully that kind of gives you a nice contrast picture there. And now I want to talk about, hopefully this will help too, what does that kind of look like as we go about our daily lives? And I'm going to use me as an example. I mean, there's millions of things out there we could talk about, but I'm just grabbing a few simple examples that might help kind of explain what I'm trying to talk about. So like while we're out here on the road and I'm going through the store or whatever, I always make it a point to look at women and smile and say hi to them and maybe strike up a conversation somehow so I can have a door opener to give them the gospel. And there are like times I might purposely stand next to a woman in the grocery store and say something about maybe what she's looking at or the weather. So I'm kind of trying to open up a door for the gospel. I mean, it's all about, we're out here to share and shine the light of Christ, share His truth. And there might be times, you know, I might just kind of make a passing comment to a woman that might make her kind of smile and laugh, you know, like, wow, look at all these. What did we ever do years ago when we only had one or two selections? You know, you look at now, there's like 30 selections for ketchup or something. I don't know. But anyway, I'll say something like that, you know, who buys all this stuff? And she might laugh, and then I might say, you know, you remember years ago how we didn't have all this and life was a lot more simpler. Here, I want to share something with you. In this complicated world, there's a simplicity in Christ. Here's the gospel. And then that might open up the door to sharing with them. But I'm sharing all that with you, sisters, to say I wouldn't do that with a man. I treat men differently than that. So like when I walk through the store and men look at me and smile, I'll return the smile. And sometimes he'll say hello, I'll say hello, or he might say, how's your day going? And I'll say, good, fine, whatever it is, you know. And then I just kind of go about my business on my way or whatever. Or I might be looking at something and I'll notice a man looking at me and if you make eye contact, I'll smile or something or say hello or whatever. And then just kind of keep doing what I'm doing. You know, I'm not walking around with my face on the ground, you know, looking downwards all the time. And sometimes, you know, I'll be doing something and a man might walk right next to me to get something and he'll say something about the weather or whatever, you know, about the, I don't know, about the product he's looking at or whatever. And of course, we're just polite and smile and share some information back and forth or whatever it is. I'm just kind of showing you a different picture of how we can relate to women versus men. We can be more open with women, and it's a very careful respectfulness with men. And so, I don't know, hopefully you see that I'm trying my best here. So, one thing I didn't cover is how about giving the gospel to men? You know, because if we're being careful and respectful with them, how do we get them the gospel? Well, once again, I'm going to use myself as an example for certain things. We can share the gospel with men. They're absolutely, I mean, we're to shine our light and share it. God's no respecter of persons, but we just do it in a careful manner, keeping within our shame-faced, meek and quiet, chaste and pure spirit. You know, the whole culmination of who we are as godly women. And so I can't give you the thousands of different situations I've run into. I just grabbed a couple of them. Like, here's a common one. A man might be running the cash register, and of course, I'm polite and I'll smile and maybe he'll say, how's your day? And I'll say, it's going well, whatever it is. Maybe they say something about something else and he's talking. So I'll share some conversation back with him. And when I'm done, I'll give him a gospel card. And usually it's a quick scenario because there's people or whatever. And I'll give him a gospel card and I'll say, here's some good news to read on your break. My husband would love to talk to you. There's several different things I say depending on the situation. And it's usually really quick. And sometimes if it's not, you know, if nobody else is like in line or anything, they might ask a question, which kind of opens the door to sharing more. You notice how he kind of opened up the door. And so if he's asking questions and I'm talking and answering, I'm always referring him to Brother James to get more information. We sisters can share the gospel. We can share some of our testimony, who we are, what we do, why we're doing what we do, things like that. And how about another situation, which is common, is a man might come up and comment on my head covering or my clothing. This just happened yesterday. It's kind of funny that it just happened right before I was going to be doing this. And it opens the door for me. I always give a gospel card right away, first thing, when I get the opportunity, as soon as I can. So that way I don't miss it. And so if they mention something about my head covering or dress, I pull out a gospel card and I'll say, I'm a follower of Christ. I'm born from above and I just do what God's word says. And I give him a gospel card. And I always try to say, we don't belong to any kind of denomination or man-made religious organization. And it'll open up the conversation to talking. And sometimes they might ask more questions. Well, if you don't belong to a church, what do you do? And so as they're asking questions and wanting to know, I'm answering. But you see how it's kind of still deferred to the headship and the authority of man. I'm not running up to a man saying, hey, I want to give you the gospel card, and then preaching to him and teaching him. There's a different way to do it. And God opens up doors, and we're to be spirit-led also. Another scenario that has come up for me is I might be going through the store and see a man. Oh, hold on a second. Okay, I'm back. Out here, real life, distractions. But anyway, I might see, and this has happened before, a man with like a big cross on his shirt or something says such and such ministries. Now, if I felt led and if the situation rose, you know, maybe we crossed paths, maybe he smiled and said hi or something, I would give him a gospel card and say, I couldn't help but notice that you had whatever it was on the back of your coat or something or whatever it was. I don't know. Here, I'd like to give you this gospel card. My husband would love to hear from you. He's a preacher and a teacher. And it's kind of a door opener that way. And so I have approached people like that. And so I don't really say a whole lot in the situation. I kind of am going to leave it at that. But once again, if he's asking questions and wants to talk about it, I'm happy to answer it. And then here's another one. We've been on the streets, you know, because Brother James is out there street preaching. I'm right next to him talking to people, handing out gospel cards. And Brother James might be engaged with somebody who's wanting to ask questions. And another man might come up to me because he knows I'm with him and ask me, who are you? What are you doing? Why are you here? Oftentimes that men don't usually approach me unless we're at a religious place or one of their so-called religious festivals or whatever. And then I kind of explain why we're there. There's usually a testing, calling people out of man-made religion. They got false gospels. And I might kind of give them something like that. And because it's a public setting and everything, I have no problem going a little ways with him to explain some of that. But they're always, you know, all these conversations with men comes to a point where it might get to the point where I'm overstepping my bounds. So I'm always referring them to Brother James. And so you see, sisters, how there's so many different ways we can share the gospel, but with men. But we always want to keep that respectfulness toward the male authority regarding the situation. And I always refer people to my authority, like Brother James is always teaching women. Because, you know, men are to be learning from men and sharpening their iron with men. We don't want to go so far as to be teaching and encouraging them to be learning from a woman. We can give them nuggets and warnings. See, I'm usually warning people out there. Did you know this? And we're always, and I say, my husband and I warn people about the deception. And I'll list Christmas, Easter, worldliness, carnality. They don't teach women how to be biblical. Things like that. And so, I keep getting distractions. Hold on. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is I think I kind of encompassed the whole picture there. Brother James, I'm just going to say this on the internet. Brother James is happy to help any man. If any of you are out there, and even if I don't know you, and you want to send a seeker to Brother James, he will help them. So you have somebody to send them to. Feel free, even if you don't know everything about us or whatever it is, I'm happy to help you. Brother James is happy to help you, your husband, whatever. We're here. And Brother James, it doesn't matter if he knows who's referring them. We have sisters who refer people to Brother James, and we've actually had other people we don't even know send people, but it doesn't matter. We'll help anybody who is seeking truth, is what I'm trying to say. So this is kind of going on quite a ways, but anyway, I'm just going to keep going. One last area I think that we need to cover is in the body of Christ with the brothers. So pretty much us sisters should still be the same face, same shame-faced women with them, deferring to their authority, but there could be various conversations because it's of spiritual nature, but it all depends on the situation, if they got male authority and all this stuff. That conversation is for those who are united in the body of Christ. But anyway, in the body of Christ, sisters are closely bonded and intimate with sisters. Brothers are closely bonded and intimate with brothers. But we all share in the godly love for the body of Christ. But you can still see the male authority versus the shame-faced, quiet, meek, pure, sober. I'm trying to remember them all. There's so many more that we could list. Woman. And so we keep ourselves in our place. But anyway, I'm going to cut this off right here. I hope that helps explain it. I tried my best, and I'm looking forward to hearing what my sisters that I'm in fellowship with, what they say about it, if there's something I missed or maybe a different insight they could put into that, because this could be like a really deep topic that goes all over the place. And so maybe something else will come of it. And if it does, I'll be sure to make another audio and share it out here. I just want to love my sisters and help us all cultivate and do and be what we're supposed to be in Christ. So anyway, I'm going to let you go now, sisters. Much love to you. And Lord willing, I'll be back again. May God be praised.